Good evening. Brother Obed is out in the field this week serving and working with another congregation, and we'll keep him in charge. Went with him to Sedalia, Missouri, the congregation there, and he's working with them with evangelism and helping them with setting up a program to evangelize, and also to go out into the communities in Dornach, and they don't think they're going to be doing that all week. So let's keep him in our prayers that their work goes well, and that they safely travel back to their homes here in San Antonio. And tonight we're going to open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5, and I'm going to read the first 10 verses, and we're going to discuss these verses. So 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to get there, because I still hear a lot of leaves turning, pages turning. First John chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. And there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. Verses 9 and 10. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. Some very encouraging words by the Apostle John. And this is a chapter that starts off, I think, that is reminding us to have faith in God, to increase our faith in God because of what he has already done for us. As it says, you know, Jesus, God is a witness himself of Christ. God testifies, the Father testifies of the Son. And we know, as it says in verse 10 there, God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar. So God has declared and introduce Christ to us, you know, through the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which is the revelation of God. And we can be reassured and to always remember and recite that God is forever near us. He's always with us. It is us, the human beings, the feeble-minded humans, that forget. And so faith is something that should be able to sustain us and help us to remember, is remembering the providence and the power of God, and being able to look in Scripture. As we know, faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word of God. So we want to be reminded, we need to self-remind, and we need to remind each other about the power of God. So let us get to verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. Please keep in mind, as Brother Sherfius reminded us this past Sunday, that when the Word of God was written, there wasn't all these chapters and verses that we have so conveniently laid out for us. It was written in a different form on a scroll, on parchment, and there were these rows that open up this way, and so there wasn't all these divisions and chapters and that we have so conveniently laid out for us. I say that this is a continuation. Chapter 5 is a continuation of what he was talking about in chapter 4. And our discussions about God's love demonstrated to us by his action, and our love expressed and given back to God in a vertical direction. If you go back into chapter 4, and you go to verse 17 and 18, just to highlight that, it says, love has been perfected. It's 1 John chapter 4, 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So we in him, through the Father, our love is perfected because of who God is and how he is able to deliver. So our love can be perfected. Our faith is something that we're constantly striving as Christians to have it at the summit, the highest possible point. But it is something that it is a work in progress. It's something that we have to continually work on. So because God loves us and we love him, we are motivated and influenced to express and show our love horizontally to one another. Let's go to 1 John chapter. I cited already some scriptures in 1 John 4. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. Now, if you have a comment, again, hopefully a lot of these things that I'm reinforcing are things that you've heard before, I hope, and that they're going to be reinforced tonight. 1 John 3 and verse 9 reads, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. So when we're born of God, when we obey the gospel, that word should be embedded in our hearts and our minds, and should serve as a filter to filter out those things that are not spiritual, those things that are worldly, those things that are evil. We want to constantly have the faith necessary to be able to discern, to make the right choices as we walk with God, and as we are tempted, that we can be able to identify when temptation occurs. We'll be able to identify the environments that we go in, and we're able to assess, is this a good place? Again, I know you got to go to HEB to get food, okay? I mean, there's temptations everywhere, even in a grocery store. So we have to constantly be on our guard, be vigilant, and again, have God's word in our hearts and minds so that when temptation comes, that faith will kick in and we will be able to identify the temptation and be able to ward it off or to prevent it from happening. Look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 15. Does anybody have any comments, anything they'd like to add to the understanding of verse 1? So 1 John 4 and verse 15 says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. Again, we have to take the whole counsel of God. We know that obeying the gospel and becoming a Christian is not by belief only. And so if we go to the book of James 2:26, we're not going to read that, but it talks about faith without works is dead. Faith without action is dead. So we have to obey all of the necessary things that God has told us to do to be added, to be grafted in to his kingdom, his church. God begat, as he uses the word begat, us, in that he created us and gave us an opportunity to obtain reconciliation by us obeying his gospel plan of salvation. Now, I don't want to get into to confuse you, but I don't want to get into a Greek word study. But that word begat is a little bit hard for us to grasp, to understand. But the Greek word monogenes, okay, is there was a problem with the translation. You know, they had a difficult time. The translators had a difficult time coming up with the best word to use here. But it's basically saying that we are from God. We are offspring of God. We are created from Jehovah God. That's where we come from. That's where our DNA comes from. That's where God's spirit comes from. That's where this physical body comes from. Now, in procreation, the God set that in motion when a husband and wife unite and the seed unites, you know, between a man and a woman, it produces a person. It produces a soul. And that's when we receive that blessing from God, which is life. Okay, any questions again? So that word begot means that literally that we're from God. We originated from God. A lot of people will try to use this verse to try to downgrade the deity of Jesus Christ. Try to say that Christ is just a normal human being, like a prophet, like Jeremiah or Isaiah, that he doesn't have the attributes equal to God, that he is not God. But we know we're going to talk about that again down, I think, in the latter verses there, that God is indeed, Christ is indeed God. The Godhead is one united body. There's three distinct beings who are members of the Godhead. Now, I'm going to use sign language to illustrate. This is this is the number three in sign language. So if when we talk about the Godhead, when we talk about the unity of God, we take the three and we change it to one. The three changes to one. Three to one. It means that there's three distinct beings. There's one God. You see that? So there's three distinct beings of the Godhead who all have the same attributes, which we'll get to. I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself. So let's look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. Romans 6:17 says, But God be thanked that you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which were delivered. I'll read verse 18 as well. That having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. So God has delivered his word, that form of doctrine, which is again unadulterated by man. There's not options to salvation. There's only one way. There's only one God. There's only one way to be added to the kingdom of God. And now I like the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13 said, by one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. Excellent scripture to remember when you're talking to the denominations and how they're going to get around that. By one spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Don't be confused by it. It's talking about the Holy Spirit through the gospel, through the word of God that he delivered, that he divinely delivered through the prophets. The Spirit dwells in our heart and mind when we obey the gospel because we're taking in his divine revelation. So by one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. And John 3:16, we know that one. I'm going to go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. First Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. So God, we were begotten when God created us, but when we obey that form of doctrine, as we read in Romans 6:17, we're begotten again because God, again, reconciles us back to him, and we are added to his church and to his kingdom. So we are begotten of God because we were created by God, but when we obey the gospel spiritually, we're begotten again. We're created again. As the scripture says, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. All things have passed away, before all things have become new. I quote a scripture. Let me tell you where it is. If anyone knows what it is, I know it's in Corinthians. Let's see here. I think it's 5:17. Yes, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Got to go with your instincts. I knew it was in chapter 5. Verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. So we are begotten again when we obey the gospel, because it's a spiritual birth. When we go down in that watery grave, we die to sin, and we vow to sin no more, to strive to sin no more. We know that we're errant creatures, and we're going to transgress, but God has given us a way to have our sins blotted out and forgiven if we sin after we become a Christian. So we must not only just love God, but we must love our fellow man and woman as well. So if we are a child of God, that love should be apparent, should be clearly seen by our actions, and we should demonstrate that love and to others, to our fellow man. Okay, first let's go back to 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. Any comments so far? Beautiful scripture, brother. Appreciate your input. Now, that says a lot, because we have some challenges as humans in that, I'll say from our national origins, from who we come from, we're taught certain attitudes, or certain ideologies, or certain mindsets that we have to leave all that in the world when we come into the body of Christ. And as this scripture says, if you don't love your brother, you know, how can you call yourself a child of God and you have dislike for someone because of where they came from, or what color of skin they have, or they talking as with a southern accent, like myself? I just threw that in there. But so it's very important that we understand that we must love our fellow man and woman. You know, we can't show any dislike because of whatever reason. We know that there's a political climate. We have the world. We have the different things that we see on television. And we have different groups that, you know, that say parties that again, if you want to ask me, both of them, I'm going to say not both, all of them are, you know, have flaws. So we have to be careful that we don't let that influence us to hate our brother, because, you know, we can get caught up into the ways of the world, and it can influence how we treat our fellow man, you know, here in the body of Christ. So again, you guys know what I'm talking about. You can't say that you're a child of God and you love God and you hate your brother. Very, very excellent point there, Brother Mingo. Okay, verse 2. Let's go back to 1 John 5. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. If we love God, we have to keep his commandments. This just goes hand in hand. A litmus test, if you will, to distinguish between a true Christian and a Christian just going through the motions is that the real genuine Christian will truly love God and keep his commandments. We must obey God in the manner which he commanded and gave it to us to obey. And let's look at a few scriptures. John chapter 14 and verse 15 comes to mind. I think most of us can quote that from memory, right? John 14 and verse 15. What does that say? Yes, if you love me, obey my commandments. Absolutely. And what about John chapter 12 and verse 48? Let's go to John chapter 12 and look at verse 48. Says, he who rejects me and receives and does not receive my words has that which judges him, the word that I have spoken, will judge him in the last days. So I'll read verse 49. For I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command which I should say and what I should speak. So we're going to be judged when God comes back. So we've got to make sure that there's no skeletons in our closet regarding our inability to love, our inability to show genuineness, concern for a fellow man. Let's go to one more scripture, then we'll move on here. It's in the book of John. John 13, verses 34 through 35. John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I gave to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So the true litmus test is if you say you love God, do you love your brother? Do you love your neighbor? Do you love the person out on the homeless person out on the street who asks you for help? Are you gonna cringe and look the other way and act like you don't see them? Or are you going to, if you have means to do so, you're gonna help them? Go get them a bottle of water. If it's 90 degrees outside, 98, it was more like South Texas, like 98 in the summer. And getting them something to refresh themselves, something you can do. You can do those small things, to show that you have love for your fellow man. Okay, moving on to 1 John verse 3, 1 John chapter 5. Rather, let's go back to 1 John. I lost my little and put a place there. Verse 3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandment and keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome or grievous. So I'll read that again. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So in this verse 3, we have God's commandments today, which are written down in the pages of inspiration. 2 Peter 1:3 tells us we have everything that we need for life and godliness. So we have the God's word, which is written down in the holy pages of inspiration, and they are not hard to do. They're not hard to understand. And again, I mean, we're human. There may be some things that we don't understand, and what do? If there's something we don't understand, I'm gonna ask a question to the class. If there's something in God's word that you don't understand, what do you do? Okay, you ask who? Pray and ask God for understanding. Okay. Then you go to other brothers who maybe have a better understanding. Yes. And that's not always an elder. That's not always a preacher. There's other mature men and mature women in the faith. And I can attest to that, because there's still ladies that who have had great impact on my faith and keeping my faith strong and giving me scripture, giving me explanation and understanding of scripture. So sometimes husbands, you may get the understanding from your wife, vice versa. Wife, you may get it from your husband. So we need to seek out. If we don't understand something, we need to make sure that we put in the work. I'm gonna give you some advice. If you don't understand something, in the Bible, first study it yourself. Don't just jump and ask someone else right away. Study it yourself and see if you can come to an understanding and take notes, do research. There's certain things you can do to gain an understanding. Now, if you still don't understand it, that's when you reach out, to your fellow brothers and sisters and ask them. You can ask one of the elders. You can ask Brother Obed, who is constantly in the Word. So these conditions which are attainable and are able to be carried out. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 30. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 30. Before I read that, a lot of times the reason why we have difficulty understanding God's word is because we have presuppositions. They say, well, Zach, what's presuppositions? That means you have an idea of what you think the scripture says, or either you have a mental block, you really don't want to understand it, but you kind of lip service your way through it. Brother Mingo.
Sometimes we bring the baggage, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of times we're looking to justify something that we like doing, that we want to continue to do. It's something that's sinful. It's something that a Christian shouldn't be doing, but they're looking for, quote unquote, a loophole. There's no loopholes in God's word. Okay, God has spoken and given us everything we need, and we have to. If we're doing something that's evil, even if it's appears that there's a scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5 that says, I think it's verse 21, abstain from all appearance of evil. So let's read Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and verse, 30. And Christ is speaking here. He says, I'll start at verse 29. I'll even back up to verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So it's very possible to come to an understanding of God's word. Now, 2 Timothy 3:16-17, I know y'all know what that says. It talks about all scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God, and that's what is profitable for what? Reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. I'm paraphrasing. But that tells us that the answer is in God's word. God is not the author of confusion. God is not going to make it difficult for us to understand what his will is and how to obey it. Yes, sir.
Can I get you to speak up?
Okay. Thanks, Phil. Okay. So, Ephesians chapter 3. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Let me move this mic up, Phil, and see if that helps. Is that better?
Yes.
Y'all should have said something earlier.
You're on a roll.
Thanks, Phil. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Well, I was afraid to put that up so high. I thought it would be too loud. So, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Let's read that. Can I have a reader, please? Ephesians 3, 1 through 8. The unsearchable riches of Christ are available to us. And if we look, jump back up to verse 4, it says, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So it's very possible to be able to read and to understand what the will of God is. And as I was saying, he's not the author of confusion. He's not going to tell one person that it's okay for you to be saved this way, through belief only, and tell another person that they can be sprinkled with some water and be baptized, or none of those. All they have to do is just believe and ask Christ to come into their heart, and they're Christians. God is not going to allow various ways or multiple ways. He only has, there's only one Lord, there's only one faith, there's only one baptism. In Ephesians chapter 4, if we jump over to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4 and 5, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. It reads, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So the oneness of the Godhead, the oneness of the church, the oneness of obeying God, there's only one way to do that, and that is according to Scripture. And we have the examples in the Bible. Remember this first Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, by one spirit we're all baptized into one body. And so let us remember that. Now, let's see if we can get a couple of minutes here. Go back to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verses 4 and 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So the victory that overcomes the world, which is the keynote scripture here, faith is the victory that sustains us. Faith is the attribute. Faith is the quality of the strength that's going to keep us faithful to God. Okay? And how do we get faith? That'll be the last question, because we're probably got about 30 seconds. How do we obtain faith? Hearing and reading the Word of God. So that means that we need to spend time, you know, personally at home, every day, in study and in meditation. Learning and reminding and learning more about God. Again, as the more we read the Bible, the more we learn about who God is, because the scriptures gives us an idea. Now, I'm gonna read one last scripture, and then that'll be done here. I'm gonna go to Romans chapter 1. Let's go to read verses 19 and 20. Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So we see evidence of God's creation, of what he did through the creation. When we look at and examine the things in this world, we see his handiwork, we see his attributes, the attributes of his creation. And also, when we look into God's Word, we also see the attributes of God's creation. So let us continue to increase our faith and maintain our faith and keep it strong so that we can make heaven our homes one of these days. Let us close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the assembly tonight to be able to together collectively study your Word and to glean more understanding, to learn more about you, to gain more knowledge so that we can increase our faith in you, so that we can strive to live in this world, Father, faithfully and righteously and acceptably in your sight, and that we will remind ourselves of your attributes and your creation and the results that we can see out in the laws of nature, that you had work and that you were behind all of this, Father, this world, this earth. So we're so thankful for your divine providence, for your love for us, your grace, and making it possible that through your word we can obtain salvation. Continue to bless us and be with us, Father, as we depart and go to our homes. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.